All right, Ephesians chapter 3, okay, around verse 16. Okay, we'll start reading there. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay, and let's go back up here for a moment. Look at verse 16. Again, the Apostle Paul is expounding and building out according to that ministry. Okay, the ministering spirits which you read about last time, around verse 10. Okay, chapter 3, verse 10. Whereas he says to the intent, that means was with this design purposed in mind, okay, that this fellowship would exist and this communion, the true communion of the Spirit, would exist between these two kingdoms. Okay, that is of the seventh heaven, and that is also of that which is of earth. Okay, to the intent, or to the intent that the church might know the manifold wisdom of God. The manifold wisdom of God, now given by the principalities and powers in heavenly places, to know the eternal purpose of Jesus Christ, which he goes on next verse there. According to the eternal purpose. Now he says, according to the eternal purpose, he's establishing in our mind a thought of a different temple. Okay, not the temple that Moses received, okay, and established in this earth, nor that which was constructed by King Solomon. Okay, but the temple, the eternal purpose, has to do with what he's designing and preparing in our hearts, okay, which we just read. Okay, in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. A different fellowship exists. And the angels now confirm this one pattern, okay, the record of Jesus Christ. The angels, okay, which is bringing the witness of the Father, are no longer confirming those things which are earthbound. They're no longer confirming the real estate, okay, which is in Israel. They're no longer confirming that. Neither are they any longer confirming the law of Moses, okay, but they're confirming the law of the Spirit. Okay, they're confirming the record of Jesus Christ. So if the angels of the Lord are confirming Christ, they are no longer confirming those things which are in part. Okay, they're only confirming his fullness. Okay, that which Jesus established in himself when he was in the form of the flesh, when God was manifest in the flesh. Okay, now we see this as the Apostle Paul expounds on this in 1 Timothy 3:16. Okay, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And this is what we're discussing right here. Okay, when he says the mystery of godliness, he's talking about concerning the effectual working of the Spirit in the inner man. Okay, concealed from the carnal mind, but understood by those which are in the Spirit, those which are walking by faith. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. The controversies talk about, okay, trying to weigh and compare that which is of Moses to Christ. Okay, the double-minded. Okay, and there are also many types and shadows, okay, which, as the Apostle Paul brought out earlier, okay, in his epistle, he has many things to say, but are hard to be uttered at this time, seeing you are dull of hearing. Now, he talked and he spoke that to as concerning the Christians about the history of the Hebrew people. We have many things to say and hard to be uttered, see you are dull of hearing. So that's what he said in Hebrews, the same thing he said in Timothy right here, 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. The effect of this work is concealed from the carnal mind. Okay, but we can understand this by the record, because God was manifest in the flesh. Okay, the Spirit inhabited that which is of the eternal inhabited the corruptible. God was manifest in the flesh. Okay, and being manifest in the flesh, he restricted himself to provide us a pattern for faith. So therefore, he was justified in the Spirit. Because, what do you mean justified in the Spirit? He fulfilled all things in Moses and himself. And instead of those things which are in part, as a Sabbath day, he fulfilled them in himself, the Sabbath man. He brought everything to its conclusion in himself. All those portions of that first covenant, which were seen in types and shadows, which also have a show of wisdom, in will worship, as Paul brings out, whereas those under that covenant, were able to exploit those physical things to create a form of piety, which was false piety, just as the sand people can do today. They can take those portions of that first covenant and create false piety, and with it will worship. We see that in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, he talks about, and you are complete in him. His fullness, the fullness of the Godhead, is now expressed by the second covenant tools. For in him dwells the fullness of Godhead bodily. There's the word fullness again, and we'll talk about that. And you are complete in him, which is have all principality and power. All the angels now confirm his fullness. They do not confirm anything in part. Now you notice that the sand people, quote out of the book of Malachi, and they talk about, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Now, what are they confirming? Are they confirming the fullness? Or are they confirming the portion? Well, we know that they're confirming the portion, which the Holy Ghost will not affirm, nor will the Spirit strengthen the soul by that which is in part. Okay? Just like the same thing, observe the Sabbath day. We see this in the book of the prophets. Observe the Sabbath day, they say. But as concerning that which the Spirit is confirming now in his fullness, the Holy Ghost will not affirm those things which are in part, because the Sabbath day is a portion of a week. And Jesus is our tithe. Jesus is our Sabbath day. Jesus is our baptism. Jesus is our communion. And he spoke this of himself when he said to his apostles, take and eat, this is me, which means that which is in part, you're now partaking of my fullness now. No longer in portions, any longer. So this is, this being the final Passover, is the final supper, which now brings to completion all things which are written about me in portions, which now I am now fulfilling at this time in myself, and that you partaking of this will continue a tradition of my fullness. No longer do we partake of him in part. Tithing, Sabbath day, observation, circumcision. And many people say, well, Abraham paid tithes. Yes, and Abraham was also circumcised. But circumcision of the flesh is no longer observed, because that was a portion. That represented that which Christ would do in his fullness. And it was a symbol of what he would give in his fullness. That which came in his baptism. It is his baptism that brings his fullness. Those which are not partaking of his fullness at this present time are continually observing those portions, of that other covenant, circumcision and tithing, Sabbath day observation and washings, and communions, just to name a few. And not only that, but they're observing the portions of land, being carnal minded. See, the carnal minded work with carnal things. That's why they're called carnal minded. Carnal things, which means things which you can touch, you can taste, and you can handle. Whereas which rudiments we were delivered from, which things had death concealed itself. Death concealed in those self and those things which were in part until Christ came. But as Jesus said himself, Okay, the prince of this world comes and there's nothing in me. There is no longer any portion, okay, that he can conceal himself in, because I am here in my fullness. Okay, so in verse 23 of Colossians, which things have indeed a show of wisdom, those things which are in part, the types and shadows, verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. See, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not needing honor to satisfying of the flesh. Okay, because people can find a lot of wisdom in those things which are in part. Okay, but it's the fullness of Christ which strengthens us, not those things which are in portions. Tithing does not strengthen the soul in regeneration. And Sabbath, observing the Sabbath day does not strengthen the soul for the purpose of regeneration. And the angels, which are following Jesus' fullness, his record, okay, only bear witness to those things, okay, which are above, okay, those things which cannot be corrupted, okay, as concerning time, okay, or any kind of element, okay, where rust cannot corrupt, where thieves can't break through nor steal, okay, and where moth can't chew on it. So without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, again, to provide the new record, justified in the Spirit under the restriction, okay, of this covenant, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels. Now, there's the word angels again, and I want to bring that out. These are the things which Paul speaks of, the principalities and powers in heavenly places, which has to be known by the church in order to continually receive this light to follow. Okay, we're following this light now, okay, the revelation of the Spirit, okay, which the Holy Scriptures validate the pattern, but they do not create the pattern. The Holy Scriptures were written by the apostles to validate this pattern. Okay, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. This new gospel is preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Okay, which is our destiny. Our destiny is being prepared for us because we're preparing our hearts now in the flesh. Okay, and that is in this earthly shell, this earthly tabernacle. Okay, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some should depart from the faith. That is the faith of this pattern and this record of Christ. And why will they depart from it? Because they're going to work with the portions. Okay, the portions. Now, we see many fables springing from the portions, where a person will profess, I observed the Sabbath day, and that's why I have fruitful fields. Or, I gave my tithe, therefore I am no longer in financial poverty. Okay, I have given my tithe. Now, these are the fables, okay, which were created by seducing spirits, okay, working with the portions. Which here the Apostle Paul says they're seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits, they're called seducing spirits because the impact concerning the passions of man and the doctrines of devils have to do with the wisdom which is the wisdom of this world, okay, which has to do with the intellectual portion, okay, the emotional and the intellectual portion. Okay, and speaking lies and hypocrisy. Affirming the signature, their signature as being that of Christ or being justified of Christ, which is of course is great error. Now we go back here to Ephesians. Now, bringing us up to speed here. All right. Now, in verse 16, now, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now, granting us according to the riches of his glory has to do with the abundance of this, the abundance of this knowledge. Now, this knowledge is what the Spirit is working with, which he said in verse 10. Okay, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Now, last time we discussed that there's two kingdoms. Okay, the principalities and powers in heavenly places, okay, which are angels of righteousness, and which Paul brings out in chapter 6, the principalities and powers of the air, okay, which has to do with the angel of iniquity. Okay, the angels of iniquity, the kingdom of darkness, okay, work with the imagination and passions of man. Okay, it works with the signature and the nature of man. All right, which Paul brings out in chapter 6. Okay, concerning spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Okay, so we see there's two kingdoms that exist next to each other. Okay, and that's why the angel of righteousness and an angel of iniquity, okay, also accompanies every vessel. It accompanies every vessel. The angel of iniquity wants to tether us to the flesh, okay, to earthbound things, so that they can rule over us intellectually and by and also emotionally, okay, which we just read about there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Okay, and the angel of righteousness, which tethers us to the perspective of the throne, okay, which the Apostle Paul brings out in Hebrews. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay, that's the tethering to the throne. The heavenly places. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. I'm back in verse 16 here. To be strengthened. Okay, so the grace of God assists us through this transformation. So he strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Okay, when he says a spirit in the inner man, he's talking about no longer in temples of stone. He's talking about in the temples of flesh, the inner man. This is what Jesus was speaking of when he was talking to the woman at the well. Okay, that no longer would men worship him, neither in these hills of Judea, okay, neither in Jerusalem, but in all places men will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Okay, and that the Father would seek such that worship him. Now the word seek there, okay, which has to do with that these are those which God selects to fellowship with, those who work with the substance of his kingdom. Okay, we were created out of eternity, okay, and with the substance of eternity we worship him with. Okay, because that's what our destiny is. We are created out of the light for the light. And that's why we're called the children of light. Okay, but those which work with the substance of this dimension, the corruptible things, okay, with the things which death has entered into, okay, will also be consumed by those things. Okay, and the last enemy that should be destroyed is death, okay, cast in the lake of fire. So it's death unto death, the children of darkness, the children of death, and that's what their destiny is, outer darkness, a sealed dimension, which God has prepared, okay, to consume all those which worship, which do not worship him in spirit and truth, but worship him with carnal things, okay, walk according to the course of this world. So we're strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So you might want to hide the word spirit there, okay, and because we're gonna also look at another word called power in verse 20. Okay, according to the power that works in us. Okay, so we can see when he says the word spirit and he says the word power, he's talking about something that's impacting the soul, okay, and bringing change. Okay, change comes through contact. Okay, change comes through contact. It's the same thing with exercising. Okay, exercise. Okay, you gain strength through exercise physically. Okay, not just reading about exercise, but by partaking of it. Okay, when you're taking a walk, okay, let's say you're exercising, okay. Now the body benefits from the contact, okay, not just from sitting down and reading about it. Okay. And it's the same thing spiritually speaking. Okay, there's many that will love God in word but not in deed. Okay, loving in word, okay, has to do with in connection with the deed. The Apostle John said the same thing. Okay, that we love one another, not in word and deed only, but in word, but in deed and in truth. Okay, which means it's a point of contact, exercising the will with charity. Okay, and we're exercising our will, okay, in charity in this priesthood, the second covenant priesthood. Okay, so through this form of engagement, the soul is strengthened, okay, and the mind is enlightened, okay, with this grace. Okay, and this is what Jesus brings out himself, okay, as concerning that we may know him, that we may know him. Okay, the Apostle Paul said the same thing in Philippians, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection. Okay, that's that form of engagement which brings us an experience. So the experience which God has assigned us is outside of that which is common to man. Okay, and when the carnal-minded try to intrude into the spiritual world, into the kingdom of God, okay, apart from the assisted experience, they come up with a different gospel. Okay, and this is what the Apostle Paul brings out in Galatians chapter 1. Okay, which in knowledge form, historically speaking, it isn't another gospel, but it's concerning the foundation and the effect of this experience, it's a different gospel entirely. Okay, so in Galatians chapter 1, he talks about that other gospel, which is not another, verse 7, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now the word pervert was it has to do with mixing covenants. But what did he tell Timothy, the Apostle Timothy? He told the Apostle Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, rightly dividing the word of truth is setting it within its proper covenants, okay, and functioning according to its proper weeks. Okay, when the watchers that fell, okay, perceived that their week has passed, okay, or their week or that first millennium is now passed, okay, they began to engage in a form of activity that was a transgression against God. God created the watchers, okay, but he did not create spouses for them, okay, so that they could produce seed and increase their own kind, okay, until, okay, the time the Father appointed for them. Now, this was because they had such enormous amount of power, okay, that they could transform themselves, and they could travel interdimensionally, okay, and also take up the form of flesh. Okay. With this power, God had to provide grounds for testing, and he did not provide females for the male watchers. Okay, and this was something that God was going to reserve for the seventh millennium. Okay, but the watchers, the reason why they fell is because they thought in their mind, okay, that God was going beyond the time element which he promised to them. Okay, and so therefore, Satan also entered into the temptation. Okay, and therefore they went into the daughters of men. We see that in Genesis chapter 6. Okay, and transgressing against God's will at the time, prematurely, they began to beget children of their own likeness, okay, which were beautiful children and super intelligent, a super breed. Okay, those which were had form of flesh, but also had angelic parents. Okay, so they were a super seed until God put a curse on them. And then their beauty was corrupted, and so was their knowledge corrupted. And they, in revenge against God, because they thought that God was unjust in his punishment and went beyond the time of promise, okay, also began to teach the children of men, okay, the knowledge of the children of heaven, okay, and teaching the knowledge of heaven to the children of men, okay, brought about great confusion. And man wanted to rule as gods apart from their creator. Okay, just to give you an example of that. Okay. All right, now let's jump back here. Okay, the other gospel, that's what we were talking about, that perverted gospel. Okay, mixing covenants. Okay, mixing covenants, not observing the proper covenants, nor observing the proper weeks. Okay, they began to mix these things. Okay, and this is what the watchers did, the fallen watchers. Okay, and this is what also the children of the flesh are still doing today. Okay, those which are trying to worship God, who is a spirit, with carnal things. Right, so mixing things. So here, historically speaking, okay, there as concerning Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus rising physically from the dead, okay, Jesus being born of the Virgin Mary, okay, the historical things, okay, is not the record. They're just the historical things. Okay, the record is in what Jesus did as concerning restricting himself in faith and patience. And that's what we do. We following the same pattern as our father Abraham. Faith and patience. Okay, that through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Okay, and we're remaining within that record, okay, of this covenant. Okay, so he goes on, but though we are an angel from heaven, so we can see that the angels of iniquity, okay, will continually try to set a different pattern by precept, okay, as we see we see this happen in many religions. They talk about angelic visitations, but the angels which they are engaging with have broken the bone. Okay, they're not joined to the Godhead. Okay, they are bringing revelation that's independent of the Godhead. Okay, they're not setting our faith in the record of Christ. And this is what Paul was bringing out here. The principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Now we see the angels here, okay, which are joining us to the Godhead through the record of Jesus Christ. Okay, these are the holy angels. Then we see angels engaging with man, okay, on the level of their own passion, which has to do with their bringing different precept. Okay, we see this about 15 centuries ago, and we see it also just recently, 200 years ago, okay, where people, okay, particular individuals engaged with angels, okay, but the angels gave them knowledge by precept, not in a record. This is a difference where we can see the difference between angel worshiping, okay, and angelic engagement. We see a lot of angelic engagement throughout the whole Bible, but we see two different kingdoms that are doing this. So the Apostle Paul is bringing to the knowledge of the church, okay, that through this form of engagement there is also deception. This is what he brings out in Colossians, okay, which we can go back there just momentarily. In Colossians chapter 2. So in Colossians chapter 2, we can see, okay, the worshiping of angels in verse 18, chapter 2, verse 18. Okay, worshiping of angels and is engaging in revelation that's not tethered to the throne, okay, founded in the record of Christ. The worship of angels has to do with that. There's angels making appearances. We see this happening all the time, okay, where they're manifesting themselves, okay, that they're coming in a form of certain deities, okay, whether it be the angel Moroni, okay, or the Virgin Mary, okay, or as concerning that which brought revelation to, okay, a prophet named Muhammad, okay, so you can understand that these things which the Apostle Paul is talking about right here has transpired and is still active today. Coming in form of aberrations. Okay, we see this since the earliest time when Satan came as an aberration to Adam, and he took the form. Satan took an image and form of a human. Okay, and taking the image and form of a human, okay, he engaged in Adam in an aberration. Okay, now Jesus, when he appeared to his apostles, did not appear as an aberration. Because he says, a spirit has not flesh and bone, as you see me have. An aberration can appear as flesh, but not have the texture of it. Okay, they can appear in physical forms, but not have the texture of the Adamite. Okay, but when we know that when the angels appeared to Abraham, the angels which appeared to Abraham with the Lord, okay, had texture of human form. Okay, and also they ate with Abraham. Okay, and so this is why Jesus after his resurrection, when he appeared to Cleopas and Simon, he ate with them. And when he appeared again to his apostles after his resurrection, he told them, touch me. Okay, see, I am flesh. Okay, I'm not an aberration. Okay, which demons, they can take human form, but they do not have the texture as I have. Okay, and taking that form, they can, without this understanding in the church, they can fool you. Okay, when they take that form of a human, okay, and they can make appearances and bring revelations, okay, but not tethered to me. Okay, this is what he's talking about in will worshiping of angels. Okay, the severed from the Godhead. Okay, these angels, which are severed from the Godhead, bring revelations which have broken the bone. They don't identify with government. They take a different pattern other than that which is the record of Christ, and it works with a different spirit called the spirit of Antichrist. Okay. Okay, that is that other gospel, okay, which the Apostle Paul was warning about. But though we are an angel from heaven, so he wasn't trying to say angels will not appear to you anymore, because he talks about the work of ministering spirits, okay, throughout the whole Bible. Angels appeared to Peter when he was in prison. Paul's angel appeared to him when he was in the ship. Okay, as an example, an angel brought the Apostle John the revelation. And also, Jesus' angel appeared, okay, in the form of himself, which brought John the Apostle the revelation. That's where it begins, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto the servant John. Okay, so are they not all ministering spirits? Send forth the minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So we can see the engaging of two dimensions. And how the angels, the holy angels, are bringing unto us the word of the Lord, which always sets us in the pattern of faith. Okay, not new revelations as severed from the throne. Okay. Okay. Now, having said that, we can go back to Ephesians. Okay, and we can see. Okay, back to Ephesians chapter 3. Okay. All right. So the Spirit. Now, the Spirit is setting within us, or crafting us, in the image of Christ by the work of regeneration, okay, and renewing of the mind. Now, look at verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Okay, the knowledge that the Apostle Paul received, okay, is for the purpose of this craftsmanship. Okay, we are his craftsmanship. Okay, but the craftsmanship takes place through the form of engagement. Okay, which has to do with reciprocation. Now, when the reciprocation, God gives a revelation, and we respond. Okay, then God also responds to us, so that the cycle, not being broken, continues in a form of fellowship. Okay, revelation brings that out. Okay, and I will dine with him, and eat with him, and he with me. Okay, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Okay, rooted and grounded in love. Okay, let's go back to that. Okay, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith shows a form of fellowship. This form of fellowship is to mirror his glory. Okay, to mirror his glory. Now we go back up to verse 16. Okay, the form of fellowship is to mirror his glory. Back up to verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. See the riches of his glory? Okay. So by faith, we continually reciprocate the knowledge which we have received, which we offer in our spiritual sacrifices, which is the second covenant priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. The order of Melchizedek has to do with the pattern of knowledge which we're reciprocating with. Okay. This pattern is eternal. Okay, this pattern is eternal. That's why Jesus is a high priest of our profession after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, it's a setting forth of knowledge for reciprocation. This is what Melchizedek, chapter 7 of Hebrews, this is what Melchizedek brought to Abraham. Okay, when Abraham received the pattern of the covenant from God. Melchizedek confirmed it. Melchizedek gave Abraham knowledge, which confirmed his place as a week, okay, as a third week there. Because Enoch was a first week, Noah was a second week, and Abraham was a third week. Now Melchizedek, he bridged the weeks, okay, from being the nephew of Noah, because Noah's brother Ner, okay, it was through him, okay, through his wife Sopanim, wherein Melchizedek was born, but he was born on the other side of the flood. Okay, being born on the other side of the flood, okay, he was received up into heaven until after the flood. Then after the flood receded, and at the time appointed of God, Melchizedek came back down, okay, and resided in the Ark of Noah, okay, for 7 years. Okay, now there's important events here that transpired. The events here that happened, okay, was for the purpose of the Melchizedek priesthood. Now the Melchizedek priesthood began at that period of time, okay, and he assisted the people, the Gentiles of his time, okay, as concerning who the true God was. Okay, and then he met Abraham, okay, and he gave to Abraham the holy knowledge, which upon receiving, Abraham then reciprocated and gave Melchizedek a portion. Okay, now the portion which he gave him, a tenth, okay, was an acknowledgement until Christ would come, okay, and fulfill it. Now Jesus fulfilled the Abrahamic covenant in himself, okay, after the order of Melchizedek. As you can see how these two work together, okay, and how these two are working together now. That's why the Apostle Paul writes about both of them. He writes about Abraham, and he writes about Melchizedek. Okay, he writes about the promise, and he writes about the priesthood. Okay, and that we, okay, are following in these footsteps, the footsteps of Abraham, grace, faith, righteousness, and a seal, which is the circumcision of our heart, okay, in the priesthood of Melchizedek. Okay, not the priesthood of Abraham, which was physical sacrifices, but the priesthood of Melchizedek, the spiritual sacrifices, which Jesus fulfilled in himself. Okay? Now Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, so that we will mirror his glory, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Okay, the rooted and grounded love has to do with the true memorial in him. The true memorial in him is charity by faith. So that says rooted and grounded in love. The true memorial is not of the flesh. It's of the spirit. If our memorial was of the flesh, then we would look forward to the construction of the Solomon temple, okay, and that we would take up swords against the enemies, okay, of Israel, okay. But what did Jesus say to Peter? Peter, put your sword away, okay. My kingdom is an invisible kingdom. If my kingdom were a physical kingdom, then my servants would fight, okay. But our weapons, the weapons of war warfare, are not carnal, but spiritual, mighty, okay. Mighty as concerning through Jesus Christ. Okay, if our kingdom was of this dimension of the flesh, okay, then we would fight for it. Okay, but our kingdom is of an invisible kingdom. Okay, which rhythm is not of the nature, but our rhythm is that of the spirit. Okay, now verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Okay, so as you continue to exercise your will, holding forth the word of life, without murmuring and disputing, as you're embracing this holy knowledge, this is what you're mirroring back to the Father. See, you're mirroring this holy knowledge back to the Father. Okay, and yielding to this in a positive way, you're exercising your spiritual priesthood. And by this, Christ is dwelling in your heart. You are carrying the testimony of heaven in earth. And this is what Jesus prayed. Okay, when he says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That your kingdom will be reflected in the hearts of those in the vessels of flesh. In a dimension. okay, of the lowest of the heavens and the darkest of the heavens, that we would be lights in this world, okay, by this form of engagement and a form of contact, this form of joining, so that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Okay, now we're joined to him by faith. And by faith in the pattern she provide for us, the gifts, the callings, the graces of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy. You'll notice that all these elements, okay, are put within these letters right here. All these elements are expounded and put within these letters, okay, for our understanding, okay, that we, according to the priesthood of Jesus Christ, can see the work of God played out, okay, and manifested in our lives because of these things, this letter. Okay, but let me go on here. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So the word faith there is a word which God has granted to us, okay, in order to identify a form of reciprocation and yielding. Okay, by faith. Okay, by faith, this is a form of activity. Okay, so there's three manifestations of faith. One has to do with the faith, which has to do with the doctrine of our persuasion. The next one has to do with the fruit of faith, which has to do with the increase of this, the increase of this element within you through its use. Okay, and the third one has to do with the activity of it. And here he says, this is the activity of it right here. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. By this form of activity, okay, the virtue of God is born within you. And by when the virtue of God is born within you, you carry the testimony of heaven within you. Okay, this is that seal which the Apostle John writes about, which is being sealed in our foreheads. Okay, that you being rooted and grounded in love. See, we've got faith and charity there. Okay, because faith is initiation and charity is the distributing results. Faith is the initiation and charity is the distributing results. As you express charity one to another, you're bringing forth the fruit of God, the fruit of God within you. Okay, and by its use, your charity, your love is made perfect. Charity is made perfect only through its activity. You see, if it remains dormant, okay, its power is useless. When the seed is put within the soil, as Jesus spoke of, okay, as himself, okay, unless a corn of wheat fall on the ground, it abides alone. Okay, but if it's put within the ground, okay, then it dies. And when it dies, it springs forth its life. And when we die to our aspiration by faith in Jesus Christ, when we die to our principle because of our faith in Jesus Christ, okay, then we're truly being crucified with Christ. Okay, because when we die to the aspiration, it's only because you're functioning in your priesthood. Okay, you're functioning in the priesthood of faith. All right, that of the second covenant. Okay, using his fullness. That you being rooted and grounded in love. So the rooted has to do with that our true memorial is in the spirit. Our true memorial is in the spirit. All right, and that memorial is given a symbol in the book of Revelation. That memorial which God has granted to us symbolizes the house which we're in. Okay, and we are in the house of Christ. Okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out. Okay, for every house is built by some man, but he that builds all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, but Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are ye? If you hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. The confidence has to do with this pattern, the pattern of your priesthood, which the pattern of the priesthood is found in the record of Jesus Christ, which witness accompanies it, which has to do with the ministering angels. The ministering angels are empowering this holy knowledge, okay, in order to effect change. And that change which is affecting within you, okay, the Lord is granting you this experience so that you now have the perception of God. Okay, you perceive things from his position now. Not from the position of flesh, which seeks peace and security in the world, okay, but rather a position and perspective of God, okay, which peace we have from above, okay, which no man can take from you. As Jesus says, my peace I give unto you, Not as the world gives, give I unto you, but my peace, that which my Father has given, which no man can take from you. Okay, because it's tethered to the throne. Okay, this is where our root and our memorial is. Okay, and he that overcomes, God will grant us the symbol of this, which is the white stone. Okay, it's neither Jew nor Gentile. Okay, the symbol of the Gentile was represented in the ephod of that first covenant, okay, whereas it was a color of onyx stone, okay, a black stone, okay, which means unknown. The unknown Gentile will be joined to the tribes of Israel, okay, when Christ comes. Now that Christ has come and has provided us a new covenant in his own blood, he's also provided us a symbol of his own house, not that of the house of David, okay, but that of his own house, which is the white stone, okay, which is also, which is that symbol, the white stone, okay, grants you the permission for interdimensional travel and to rule as a pillar in your own house. Okay, that's why the symbol of that right now means nothing, okay, because it's not active yet. But once that symbol is granted to you and is activated, it's going to be a very important symbol as you travel from one dimension to another dimension and from gate to gate through each dimension, because the angels that guard those, you have to have the password. But when they see the stone, okay, which has been granted to you, okay, and we're not talking about just like a, you know, something you go to a store and buy a stone, okay, but rather it's something that's it's of a supernatural composition, that they will know that this is a holy one. You have to let them through, because God's name is in him, and that's when you travel from one dimension to another dimension. See, okay, that's just giving an example of that. So our memorial is rooted and grounded in love. It's rooted and grounded in Christ, because God is love. God is love, the Apostle John says, and that's what we're rooted and grounded in. We're rooted and grounded in that virtue, the memorial of our eternal inheritance. Okay, now by this. Okay, look at verse 10 now. We finally got to verse 10, or not verse 10, verse 18. Now you may be able to comprehend with all saints. Now the word comprehend is that we're seeing these pieces come together, which before were scattered in types and shadows. Comprehension. Okay, everything is coming together and taking right and proper form. That's order. That's part of the God code too. Okay, order, increase, and pleasure. Okay, so the Apostle Paul, when he says the word, may be able to comprehend, is that all those portions which were concealed, okay, in the construction of the temple, the vestments of the priesthood, and the articles of sacrifice, okay, the altar, the Ark of the Covenant, okay, the altar of incense, the candlestick, the table of showbread, the bath, okay, And all those things that were used, the construction, its color, and how it was even put together, okay, now comes together in one person. Okay, when Jesus walked in the temple in his earthly ministry, when Jesus walked in the temple, he would receive a reflection of himself everywhere he turned. When he walked in Solomon's temple, when he looked to the right, he would see himself. When he looked to the left, he would see himself. When he looked straight ahead, he would see himself. And when the high priest would come in with all his vestments, Jesus would see himself. He would see himself and all those portions. Okay? And that's why he says, "Come unto me and eat. I am that bread." And remember, he was in the porch. He talked about that. "Come, eat of me, and you must drink my blood and eat my flesh if you want life." Okay? The high priest would eat of the sacrifice of the meat offering. All right? And then he'd also drink of the wine. Okay, drinking the wine. That's why Jesus says, "Eat of me and drink of me." Okay, eat of me and drink of me. I am the fullness of all these portions. Okay, now we can understand verse 18 a little fully here, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints. Okay, as we see all these coming together, and to comprehend with all saints, what is what? The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Equity. Equity in everything. Okay, everything where Jesus looked mirrored himself. Okay, equity, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Okay, the full picture now comes together. Another example of that is if you have a 1,000-piece puzzle and took a 1,000-piece puzzle, and dumped it out of the box. The pieces of that would be scattered all over. Now you would see what it would look like, on the picture. Okay, now that's what Moses saw. Okay, Moses saw the picture. Okay, but yet all the pieces are still scattered. Now Moses, understanding the spiritual significance of these things, wrote all things in the Torah according to the spiritual significance of it. Okay, that everything that was penned from the person that God selected, from the activity that the person did, okay, to the construction, even the location of places, okay, all had spiritual significance, and Moses saw that. Okay, now when Moses seeing these things, okay, he would teach the spiritual significance of them, and even King David understood the spiritual significance of that. Okay, when he even said, "Does the Lord require?" Okay, baths of oil, okay, and rivers of blood, and abundance of sacrifices. Does the Lord require, thousands of bullocks and thousands of rams? Doesn't He require a contrite heart, and one of faith? Remember, the prophet spoke of that. Even King David understood that. It wasn't the physical things. It was faith, because as faith, as concerning the condition of the conscience. The Father is looking at the condition of the conscience. So here we see the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Now the 1,000-piece puzzle starts to come together. And it comes all together in a person, Jesus Christ. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. So that there's equity in everything. And each portion there's equity. And there's equity in your perception. That's what we call renewing of the mind. With the impact of the spirit and the soul. Through your priesthood, now your perception of life begins to change. As the Apostle Paul brings out. Now you have the mind of Christ. You remember the Apostle Paul said that? Now you have the mind of Christ. When you come into your first experience of the seal of the Spirit, there you have a lot of growth to take place in your life, before your perception starts to change. But you remember that first impact of grace, you began to see from that first impact of grace a whole different world, a whole different kingdom was being played out before you. Now you might see it with your eyes, but yet there comes the experience of it yet. Now it's the experience of it that begins to re-educate you. Many shall see the kingdom of God, but will not be allowed to enter into it. These are those that do not continue to increase in the kingdom of God. Many people have that clarity of grace, but yet never come in covenant with God. As it is also brought out in other writings, they shall indeed see the kingdom of God, but they shall not enter into it. Because the only way to enter into it is by the tools of the covenant, the record which Jesus provided for your priesthood to be expressed with. So now let's go on to that in verse 19. You might want to get your sacrifices prepared. Verse 19. Now we can see the word to know. To know. So highlight the word to know. We know by experience. You notice that before Adam fell, the Lord gave him a certain form of knowledge. And this knowledge which he gave to Adam said this, that the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. The thing of it is that Adam, his life was, isolated from that death. It was isolated from that experience. He never experienced death before. So that's what we call knowledge without experience. But once Adam transgressed, he entered into a whole new kingdom. Then once he entered that kingdom, he began to understand, oh, that's what you mean by death. That's the same thing about speaking in tongues. Many people read about tongues in the Bible, but seeing that they have not entered into the experience of it, they try to explain it or try to understand it in the text of knowledge only. and you will never understand it in the text of knowledge only. Okay? And not understanding it, okay, you will see, you will begin to place a value on tongues as that which is less than what God has placed on it. Now, you began to reevaluate things, but not from God's perspective, but from the perspective, of the carnal mind. And you say, "Well, I don't see the value of tongues. I see people that pray in tongues that live like the devil. Yeah, and I see people that don't have this baptism of the Holy Spirit that do live like the devil." Okay, we can say the same thing about them. Okay, and that's because those that receive this new baptism, okay, not of water but of Spirit, those that receive this baptism have to grow in the knowledge of God by experience, okay, or else their circumcision becomes uncircumcision. Okay, it doesn't become valid. It's only valid, okay, through the engagement. Okay, that's where your faith will increase, your wisdom and knowledge will increase, your charity will increase and abound towards one another, as Paul brings out. Okay, let's go on verse 19 here. "Now to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge." Now that's why I brought that out earlier about Adam, is the word passes knowledge. Okay, it's beyond, it passes knowledge because it's beyond the precept of the moral code. Our experience of Christ is beyond the precept of the moral code, because we're entering into an experience with Him. This is what the church wants. They want to have a relationship with God, but you can't create a relationship by precept or with the imagination. Okay, it's the relationship is through the form of engagement of your priesthood. Okay, through your priesthood. "To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge," it's beyond the precept of the moral code, "that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now there's the word fullness of God. Okay, and you're filled with the fullness of God. The word filled there has to do with this. No more in portion. Okay, that God's presence and His work within you, okay, continually carries the equity of His craftsmanship through each stage of your growth. Little children, young men, and fathers. Okay, the equity of His craftsmanship continues to grow with you. Okay, so that each level of your growth, okay, you're continually abiding in His fullness. Okay, those which just come into covenant can experience the equity of this craftsmanship, as those which are fathers in the faith can continually experience and express the fullness of His craftsmanship. This is the fullness of God now. That's why I brought out earlier as concerning tithing isn't the fullness. It's just a percentage. It's a portion. Okay, your sacrifices of that first covenant were all portions. Okay, the temple, everything that we see in that first covenant was all portions. From the construction of the incense, which was put on the incense altar, as well as also the construction of the anointing oil, everything was a portion. Now, when Jesus was anointed, okay, with that oil, okay, it was an acknowledgement that He was the fullness of God, that He now was fulfilling all things as the Lamb of God, God's Lamb, which has seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, which He possessed the fullness. Okay, under that first covenant, everything was separated and put in parts. But now that Christ has come, everything has now been put within Him, because He is now filled, He is the fullness of God, and as we engage with Him, we experience of that same fullness.